First Samuel chapter 11, and let's just read verse 14. And what happened? First Samuel 11, 14. Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there." Next verse. And how are they going to do that? And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord, and there they sacrifices of peace offerings. Now, a sacrifice means a sacrifice. All right? Of peace offerings before the Lord. And there, Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. So the first step in this repentance renewal that God is saying to you this morning, all right, which means the exercise of expanding yourself here to be able to take the new things that he wants to bring into your life, right? Changing your mindset. He said, "I want you to go into what is called peace offerings here. This will renew my kingdom in your life." What do you mean by peace offerings? He's saying that if you have aught in your heart against any person, as he said, before you put your gift on the altar. Now, we'll talk about the altar, but he tells us that first of all, get reconciled inside your heart. So have there been people in the last phase? And those are signs of the end of a particular phase that hurt you. People that did things all right to you. People that you feel are indebted to you, maybe emotionally and all of that. Where you felt despitefully used. Remember Jesus said, they cast your name out as if you rejoice in that day. He said it means the kingdom of God, which means something new is coming. Once you start having betrayal, backstabbing, all right, relationships where people you put your trust in, that means it's a sign that something is coming. But it says, "I want peace offerings here." You cannot carry any anger inside your spirit into the next place. It says, and this exercise here of having peace towards them, which is goodwill towards these people, is one of the strongest spiritual exercises you can carry out in increasing your spiritual capacity to be able to receive. Remember Jesus said, "Judge not, condemn not, you won't be judged and condemned, forgive." He said, "And you'll be forgiven." He now said, "Give and it shall be given." In other words, before you can get to the press down, you've got to forgive. That is the exercise that expands your heart. If something major is coming your way, you will have, all right, one or two people in your space that will treat you badly, that you will have to go deep in order to be able, all right, to forgive. It always precedes a brand massive manifestation from God. All right, people there out of strife, you will hear things. That's why when Job offered that peace offering between him and his friends and prayed for his friends, then his own captivity was turned around. That is, people that were criticizing and he prayed for them, his captivity was turned around. When you come to the point where even people that are in competition with you, you decide to pray for their progress. It's a sacrifice. It's not easy on the flesh. It says, but this is how the expansion, all right, begins. This is the first thing that will reconcile, that will renew the kingdom there. When God chastises a man, it's for two reasons. The first is that there's envy and strife, unforgiveness in his heart. And he's saying, follow peace with all men. Don't let that lame foot be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. All right, let go of it. All right, let it be healed. All right, get yourself back on track. All right, when you got wounded and injured there, you went out of alignment there. Come back. Let's get back on that road that I put you on originally. Get God's speed into your life now. He says, get back on that track here. Right, Job said, acquaint thyself with him and be at peace. Which means, how do I align myself with God? He said, enter into peace with men. He said, and you have aligned yourself back. If you make the adjustment of going, we have passed from death to life because we move from hate to love. Which means you move from hating, all right, a person there, loving less. All right, you get to the place there of love. I know in reconciling inside your heart. So people, God shows you things yourself. He expands your thinking. And the process of doing that, he shows you that, listen, all right, you know, he expands it. Next time, you won't handle things the way you handled it now. So you know much more. I mean, if you just hold on to it, you know, they are wrong, you won't grow. But you do that. Exactly. You will see things. He will show you things. Right? I mean, I've come to discover that, number one, I've come to see this. The reason why there's a lot of offense on the earth is that people are afraid to have a one-on-one frank conversation. They don't have the courage to do that. There are characters there, there's some weakness, a character flaw, that they can't sit down and have a strong conversation with the person that, listen, this is how I felt about what you said here, all right? And that other person, all right? Also, because of that, there's a lot of offenses flying around there. So God says, listen, you know, he trains you. He takes you and says, you will have to have conversations like this. The next level, you have to build yourself up to be able to address things early, call people in. You know, if we blow up your company and it becomes, then you want to lay off a staff, and you know, you now send somebody to help you do it because you don't know how to tell the person you will not be working here again. So what happens is that one goes there and says, oh, God said you should get out of the office. Oh, God said you should get out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Then what happens? It gets out that, you know, what he said. Can you imagine? He said, get out of the office. And you don't know that. That one is angry, spreading it around the entire place. By the time you finally hear, after 7 years, the damage has been done. You said, I didn't say that. In fact, you don't even know how to talk. All right? That person was so close to you, you didn't even know. So there was really compassion in your heart. And that other person, you know, got there too, didn't know how to say, just said, God said, get out of the office. And then you will discover that making enemies doesn't help. It doesn't help. There's no need to have another enemy out of arrogance. How did David recover all when the Philistines got him? What happened was that these guys carried this chap. When he was no more useful to them, they dumped him. Are you following what I'm saying here? You will understand. They dumped him. And he was injured there. Even though he couldn't ride and he couldn't fight, they forgot he still had information. So when David found him and gave him bread, he said, I will tell you the secret of these people and how to get everything back. And what simply happens is, I mean, I was reading about some prominent person and her sister was saying something about her just to spoil her life where she is today. Blood sister. And I said to myself, it might have come out of something that happened in the house that she didn't manage properly and offer peace and get the reconciliation properly so that it doesn't, now it's blowing up when she's global and it's becoming, you know, a source of embarrassment. And you look at yourself, the cost of this thing, all right, is much more damaging to me than just an apology that I could have made. And God begins to show you things that, listen, you've got to be able to, you know, do what is called this peace offering here and get things in, all right, within your life, all right, in proper perspective there. So the first one is peace offering there. It doesn't necessarily mean that you and that person will be friends, but it means that you don't hold any grudges in your heart to that person. It means that you have goodwill, all right, to that particular person. It means that where the opportunity arises, you do good to that person. It means that you speak well, all right, of that particular person. So God begins to show you things. I get it. Now, the second one, I'll close with this here. And this one is very powerful here. Second one is the renewal of the altars, all right? So first of all, peace. Just the exercise, their jubilee was a time of debt cancellation. Just canceling the debt of people. Now, you follow what I'm saying here? Just, you know, all right, okay, that reconciliation there. Canceling, when I say that, emotional debts of people. All right? The Bible says we should obey the voice of God that is not just shaking the earth, but is shaking the heavens and the earth. And what's that voice? If you read it, it says it is the voice of the blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel cried for vengeance. The blood of Jesus. It says this voice you must obey. This voice you must obey. And it's the voice of forgiveness. All right? Now it's a sacrifice. Right, so forgive certain people. A sacrifice, all right, to do it. But you have got to forgive. And let me tell you the sign of somebody that understands greatness. Sign of somebody that understands greatness. If today you're a landmark event We must find representations in your life from the beginning up until now without a gap. In other words, that shows you are not a person who uses people and dumps them, which means we start from the beginning and we see the representation of everything in your life right to it. Are you following what I'm saying? When I was celebrating my birthday here, I mean, it gladdened my heart. When my first friend in my entire life, when we were 3 years old, was there. And one of my fellowship people came to me and said, I don't know how you do it. Said, you pull everybody from everywhere together. Said, I don't know how you do it. All right? So it's important, okay? That as much as it lies in your power, except you are dealing with people that have declared world war on you, for which there shall be no return. What it does to you is you develop skill. The Bible says the wisdom of God is first pure, then the next attribute is peace. In other words, that wisdom understands reconciliation. It knows how to manage relationships. And this is one of the things God says, you have to develop capacity to get, all right, okay, to get to the place. Then lastly, he says here, next thing it says here is 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 8. It talks about, all right, restoring the altar. And I just want to say one thing about this altar and I'll close here, all right? And God showed me this. He said, and when Asa heard this word, so first peace, just make sure inside your heart, the Bible says when the salt has lost its saltness, it's good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Then he went on and says, have salt in yourself. Have peace one, all right, to another. In other words, if a man loses peace in his heart, he has lost the essence of his life. So peace towards people, regardless of what is going on, there's peace inside your heart. So he says this, he took courage and put away all the idols in the land of Judah, Benjamin. Now where we're going to is the last sentence for that. And renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. Now, what does it mean here to renew the altar? The altar is a place of where a person, all right, enters, so to speak, a covenant with God. That God promises you something and the person builds an altar there where the Lord appears. So it's a place of covenant, all right? It's a place where covenant is sealed. It is a system of worship. In other words, God has shown you a system of worship. So God wants to show people, all right, a new system of worship. That this is how I want you to worship me going forward. This is not what somebody told you, but this is what God communicated. There's nothing more powerful than that. Inner to your own heart, all right, as a person going forward. That this is the system of worship. All right, where, you know, you are separate from people in the sense that unto God, you've been separated. So you can be with people, like, but if God has given you a system of worship and he tells you, I want you to worship me in the morning and I want you to worship me last thing at 10 p.m. every night, it's your system. Even if you're with all your friends, all right, because, you know, that's that place. You tell them 10 o'clock, I'm sorry, I have to leave now because I have to go and, you know, if I'm saying I have something to do. All right? And it's a system there. God showed you something and you worship God that way. But in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 13, let me show something about the altar and verse 10. It tells us, Hebrews 13, I believe, and verse 10. Right. It says, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat that serve the tabernacle. So the tabernacle was the old order. But it says, we have an altar now. All right? And then it goes on verse 11. And says, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood were brought into the sanctuary by the high priest were born without the camp. Verse 12, let us therefore, it says, that might sanctify him with his own body and suffered without the gate. Verse 13, it says, let us therefore, all right, go unto him before comparing his reproach. 14, for we have no continuing city here, seek one to come. Now 15, it says, this is the sacrifice we place on the New Testament altar. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually, the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto his name. So you're a person who gives praise to God for everything that comes into your life, everything, you are full of thanksgiving, don't attribute things to yourself. Now look at the next verse, and this next one I'll look at. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now, when it says to do good there, it says to be kind-hearted, So help those that are in need. Forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now, so the two things that God wants, all right, us to pay attention to is the sacrifice of praise, but also helping those who are needy, helping people and giving a support. He says, I want you to understand this, a support structure to people, all right, around you. Helping those who are in need. He says, charge them that are rich in this world. This is the assignment. They shouldn't allow themselves to get high-minded. He says that's how the thing perishes. But that they should do good. Willing to communicate. So that's when it doesn't go to waste. Willing to communicate, which means to distribute to the necessities of people. So this is a decision inside the heart of a person. To live a life of praise and thanksgiving unto God and to use their resources. In other words, this person has come into an agreement of some sort that the resources that come to me from heaven will not be visible in my life as such, which means from what I drive, from what I wear, you will not be able to estimate, right, what I am in contact with. But you want to know my true wealth, go and see how much I help people that I need. Which means that person is plugged into, has come to understand that this is now my assignment here in terms of material prosperity. And God wants, okay, us, I mean, there are two reasons why God will chastise a man. I've said this. One, peace. The second, God says, I heard the voice of the cry of poor people around you. Go and check the Bible. He said, it entered into my ears that there were people around you that were poor and you did nothing to help. You know, it tells us, let him labor with his hands that he might have to give to him that is in need. He said, you didn't understand your purpose. All right? He said, I heard that. That was the sacrifice that Colinius had, where he said, your prayers and your alms have come as a memorial right unto God. Okay? So it's important. And when we talk about helping people in need, love is deeper. I mean, I told them, love is deeper than you just saying, I give handouts, you know, to pacify guilty conscience. It's about understanding a system through which you can lift people up. I'm not talking about people who want to dump their excesses on somebody else to bankroll. If you are alone and you say you are in a four-bedroom apartment, you don't have enough money to pay for the rent, can you help? You first of all move to one-bedroom apartment. Then we can talk. But you can't be strolling around all the four rooms and you don't have the money to finance it and you say somebody else should do that. That doesn't make sense. Are you following what I'm saying? I saw a lady on CNN, a journalist. There were children that were suffering somewhere, and she gave biscuits and water, and she said something. She said, we knew when we gave them biscuits and water, we were only pacifying our guilty conscience. We weren't helping them. Those children were still going to die. Now, I'm not talking about that. She said, we knew. We knew to get them out of trouble, we had to do more. I read a scripture maybe during the week, and I saw something. Because we've almost stigmatized poor people and struggling people, like it's their fault or theirs. And God said, listen, these are needy. He said, the poor who had nobody to help them. In other words, some people are poor today because nobody put their hand and pulled them out. Hillary Clinton said, I've never seen a successful person who somebody hasn't given a little push. Somebody wrote, said, no, Pastor, they might not understand. You know, motivational talk, you just say, they might not understand the rules of wealth. I said, rules of wealth. Rules of wealth. I said, all right, you were born in some remote village in Afghanistan. Will you be who you are today? You won't even know the name Jesus. And that's what he said. And I said this, listen, David prayed to God. He said, give me judgment. It wasn't like he was just out of the goodness of mind. He said, give me judgment and statute through which I will deliver the needy and the poor from bondage. Give me the judgment. In other words, teach me how the power will be released. So it was just beyond goodwill. He said, show me. All right? I was preaching there. A chap came there and said something. He wanted to ask me a question about giving because I was sharing about helping people. He said, I grew up in a small town All right, I think from what he was saying, it seemed like it was from the eastern part of Nigeria. He said the missionaries did something, and that's one of the most powerful things I've ever heard about meeting needs. He said when they came, he said in our town, my grandfather told me, we used to separate the leopards from other people. So the leopards were, and this is how they did back then everywhere. You know, you keep them somewhere. I said, so when the missionaries came, they went to where the leopards were, not where the real people were. And started helping them, started curing them, getting them out of it. Said, you know what they did? They built the schools there, gave the education to them, gave them the knowledge. So those guys came from that place and took over the towns. They empowered them. Now, you'll say rules of, now if those people didn't come from England, leave their comfort zone and come into the forest somewhere, will those people be educated and know what they have today? Now, what chance do we stand when we stand before heaven? If we are spending all we have on our own comfort and luxuries of life, when you, somebody else is about to be judged beside you, and he gave up all the comfort, eating sausages and bacon to be looking for what to eat. Are you following what I'm saying? You inside your house, that you are in Nigeria where they eat the yam, you say, no, I can't eat yam like this. And you are turning the whole house upside down because the stew wasn't cooked for 15 minutes, 35 seconds, but 14 minutes, 17 seconds. And God in heaven is looking at you. As they say, there is God. Let me close. Put up Isaiah 58 here, verse 1. All right? So as a church, all right, this is one of the things we'll get into after the fast. We're going into, all right, and how? You know, you go into communities and help the community. I'm talking about, you help people. That governments even come and say, what system did you put into operation that got people out of poverty here? Not that we just went there and said, we don't have clothes, we give you clothes. No. What system there? Love is deeper than just giving people handouts. It's a system that helps people out. Now, quickly, Isaiah 58, Message Translation. All right, I'll close with this. Isaiah 58, the Message Translation. Now, it says this, quickly. It says, shout a full-throated shout, hold nothing back, a trumpet blast shout. Tell my people what's wrong with their lives, face my family Jacob with their sins. Next verse, it says here, they are busy at worship and love studying all about me. To all appearances, they're a nation of right living people, law abiding, God honoring. To all appearances, they ask me what is the right thing to do and love having me on their side. Verse 3, then it says, but they also complain, why do we fast and you don't look away? Why do we humble ourselves and you don't even notice? Well, here is why. The bottom line on your fast days is profit. You drive your employees much too hard. Verse 4, it says you fast, but at the same time you bicker and fight. You fast, which means that peace wasn't there, but you swing a mean fist. This kind of fasting you do won't get your prayers off the ground. Verse 5, then it says, do you think there's a kind of fast the day I'm after? A day to show off humility? To put on a pious long face and parade around solemnly in black? Do you call that a fast? Do you call that fasting? A fast day that I, God, will like? Verse 6, it says, this is the kind of fast day that I'm after. To break the chains of injustice, to get rid of exploitation in the workplace, to free the oppressed, to cancel debt. Verse 7, it says, what I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor to your homes, putting clothes, all right, on the shivering ill-clad, being available to your own families. Verse 8, hear what it says. It says, do this and the lights will turn on. Your lives will turn around at once. He said, do that. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. Verse 9, it goes on. When you pray, God will answer. You call for help, I'll say, here I am. If you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims, quit gossip, all right, about other people's gospel, about other people's sins. Verse 10, it says, if you are generous with the hungry, start giving yourselves to the down and out. Your lives will begin to glow in darkness. Your shadowed lives will be birthed in sunlight. Verse 11, it says, I will show you where to go. I will give you a full life in the emptiest of places, firm muscles, strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden. Then verse 12, it goes on, you'll use the old rubble of past lives to build anew. Rebuild the foundations from out of your past. you will be known as those that can fix anything. Restore old ruins, rebuild and renovate, make the community livable again. So this is the type of people I'm talking about. All right. So it's that kind, all right, of thing we want to get into. That's the kind which means that, right, kind of people that we want to be as a people of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. I ask that you cause this truth to take roots inside our consciousness and bring us to a place full awareness and the full fruits come forth in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.